The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuʻule Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht. Happy Aloha Monday. It was a really, really packed, exciting-ish weekend. A lot going on this week. But man, the mood actually is just, you know, we always like to start off on like the positivity note. And we will, obviously, this is kind of the theme of our show. But it just feels a little weird. Like, we just had such huge wins at the University of Hawaii over the weekend. And it's just the celebration is just dampened. And it's kind of matching the mood that we have outside right now with all of these cloudy skies and everything. If you guys missed the University of Hawaii men's volleyball game last night, one, it was a big win over UC Irvine in for them to win their 11th Outrigger Invitational title. But in the fifth set, Hawaii up 14-12, and we see one of the worst possible things we could have seen, where the tournament most outstanding player, Spiros Hakus, goes down with an apparent left leg injury. It looked really bad. He didn't get up. He had to be helped off the court. He couldn't put any pressure on it. And we've seen time and time again in the world of sports that we cover that anytime you kind of see that, the outcome cannot be good. However, there is no update yet. We will play what Charlie Wade had to say after the match in just a little bit. Coming up on the show as well, we'll talk a lot about the big men's and women's basketball wins that happened over the weekend. Hear a fun Zoom, if you guys didn't see it on our YouTube conversation post-game from head coach Laura Beeman and her assistant coaches. Hear a little bit of what Aron Ganot had to say following their senior night. So we'll get to all of that. But yeah, it's just such a weird, weird mood this morning. Even when I woke up, I'm like, oh, even last night when Hawaii won, if you guys watched the game or were there in person, I mean, as always, the crowd for the men's volleyball games are insane. Everyone knew this was a big game, essentially because both Irvine and Hawaii had beat the current, which is likely to change today when the new polls come out, but the current number one men's volleyball team, that being Grand Canyon. With both Irvine and Hawaii beating Grand Canyon, it pretty much felt like this was a true championship match, and that whichever team came out on top will likely be the number one team when the polls get released later this morning. You know, close sets back and forth the entire time. I believe 14 ties or something in like just the first set. It was crazy. And then just a bunch of lead changes throughout the match. Hawaii dropping the first match, but then winning the next two, and then Irvine coming back, winning the fourth set, and Hawaii ultimately winning the fifth set, 15-13. So your set scores as 25-23, 19-25, 22-25, 25-17, and then 13-15, Hawaii getting that win. But as we just mentioned, when Hawaii was up 14-12 in the fifth set, is when Spiros Hakus went down. He went up for a kill and then landed awkwardly on his left leg. I didn't actually see it in real time where I sit sometimes, like either Coach Milan or Coach Wade are kind of in the way, and you know, they can pretty much stand wherever they want. But I didn't actually see it, and I just saw Spiros down on the ground, and it was quiet. It was side, like, I've never, like, considering that there were almost 7,000 people in there, and
I don't know if one was talking.
It was insane. Like, almost 7,000 people. I've never heard it that quiet.
It was
unless
eerie.
It's empty. Everyone is just silent. And then poor thing, because you heard, I guess someone doesn't go to most sporting events or whatnot, because there was one person that tried to, I think they thought they were trying to do a good thing, because they're like, Spiros, we need you, or something. They yelled, and then someone was like, shh. I was like, oh no. It's just kind of like the etiquette, right? Like, you just don't say anything. It's just, everyone was just kind of in shock.
They were stunned. How couldn't you be?
Yeah, it was so unfortunate. But before we kind of go through all of those thoughts and get you a little bit of the what happened during the match, here is what head coach Charlie Way, just a few things that he had to say during the post game.
Yeah, it was kind of a hectic match from the start, kind of unorthodox, and it felt like, you know, you want it so bad and you can't get it, and it's just, you know, when we were not quite as efficient as we would have liked, and it was, you know, Heno's good, and he scores in a variety of ways. He's not just going up and banging it all the time, and some of those, you know, tip and push and shoot it, and like, it looks easy, and it's really not. You know, he's really good at it, and he's got full command of what he's doing, so competitive match, you know, really entertaining, and then obviously, you know, we got our fingers crossed and hoping Spiros is okay. And that's just, you know, part of competitive athletics. I hope he's great. But, you know, we'll find out more. They'll get some imaging on it. We'll find out more here in the next 24 hours or so.
Did you see it as it happened?
I didn't. I talked to a couple of people who did. And, you know, it's, I think we'll just wait and see what the imaging shows. They're going to get an MRI on him here as soon as they can, and we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm. Guillermo, you put down the last kill to win. Incredible match. It was an incredible tournament for you guys. But, you know, obviously with what happened to Spiros, so I'll ask you kind of the same thing. Just what are you kind of feeling right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go check up on him after this is done. We hope that he's doing okay, that it's nothing too serious. He really helped us tonight against a really good team. So all the respect to everyone.
Mm-hmm. You guys started the tournament with two impressive sweeps. And I know you're not expecting to sweep your way through the entire season, but just kind of a game like tonight, to see your guys, you know, come back and win in the fifth set and just go through something. You guys really haven't been in that match much this season. Just, you know, what could you kind of take away from this? And maybe just how good was it for the guys to go through something like
this?
Yeah,
I mean, it's good. You know, obviously there's the mental part, and then there's like kind of the chess game that's going on. And, you know, if you say you look at stuff, well, this should be easy for whatever reason, but it's not. They're still, you know, good players. And, you know, I thought that part, you know, we adjusted as the match went on, and got a lot of different guys involved that contributed. That was good. And just kind of being in the moment where it's, you know, super competitive, it was fun. Like I said, we haven't been there a lot. And then there's the other part that, you know, we still look pretty fresh. You know, nobody was really fatigued and kind of dragging. Sometimes you get in those five setters, you can tell a guy's getting gassed, and I thought we looked pretty good all the way to the end.
And that was UH Men's Volleyball head coach Charlie Wade and a little bit of Guillermo Voss following the match last night. Again, just a very somber mood. The first thing, Paul Brecht, that is your name, but it's funny. Paul was in the post-game media scrum, and I texted him. I was like, how's the mood? And yeah, you're just as much as you can imagine, right? Like, which is weird because, again, this is such a significant and a huge win, but it just doesn't feel like we're celebrating it the same way because everyone's just thinking about Spiros, as you heard. We'll probably get an official update probably somewhere later today, hopefully, especially if it's something that's season ending. They usually make that be known pretty quickly if it's something that he could come back from, which by the looks of it looks unlikely, but you never know. Maybe it was just being delicate, so he might do the Laura Beeman and not tell us. So maybe if we don't get any news, that's good news. But it looked really unfortunate, and it felt like a different, so we're all like fans of professional teams and we see injuries like this happen a lot, but it was a different feeling. And I remember I texted you guys last night in our chat, like, it feels like watching like your friend or family member go down. Like,
yeah,
I know after the game you kind of alluded to like, oh, you know, it's like Aaron Rodgers.
I joked about that.
No, but I know, but like, or just like when I see someone from my professional team go down, your immediate thought, and it can be kind of bad, is like, oh my gosh, now our team is going to be so bad. Like, or the team lost it. Just like when Aaron Rodgers went down, it's kind of like, oh dang it, there goes the season. We lost the quarterback. But with like Spiros going down or anybody from the University of Hawaii teams, because like they play for our state and you go to these games, all these games, and you like, even though they're not actually like your friend, it just feels like you have so much care for them. So your immediate thought when something like this happens is like you're just like gut wrenched for the person and not even thinking like, oh my gosh, he's a key piece of this team. Like, how are the chances for them to win the Natty this year? How much that affects it? Like, none of that thought crossed my mind. Like, I'm just thinking of Spiros. Like, oh my goodness, like this kid is gonna had dreams to go and play professionally. And if it's bad, that professional career has to wait. And there's all these things that you think about for this person and this player that's been playing for this state and giving it his all. He was the most outstanding player for a reason of the tournament. And to see something like this happen, it was just so unfortunate. And I'm just like getting all teary eyed just thinking about it. Cause
it's gut wrenching.
It's so gut-wrenching.
I mean, you put it very well. This is a kid who, I shouldn't call him a kid, but this is a guy who has put his all on the line for this state, for this team, for his entire career here in Hawaii. He came back this year alongside, you know, Guillerme Voss and all of them. Obviously, we lost Dimitrios Mouklias last year, a year earlier than we were expecting, or some people were expecting, I guess. And, you know, it's been awesome to see him enjoying such a great season so far. And even so, he already had gone through some load management and whatnot earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very clear that the Bows have been trying to keep him as fresh as possible for the long run, and you put it perfectly. All of that goes by the wayside because you just care about the kid. You hope that he's okay. You want to give him a hug and tell him it's going to be okay, because these type of injuries, they can be isolating a lot of times, and that's why I was really glad, you know, you heard Guillerme Voss in that postgame say, yeah, right after this, I'm going to go check on him. And that's kind of what the team culture is for the men's volleyball squad here in Manoa, where it's one big family. Yeah, volleyball is very, very important. Yeah, they have eyes on competing for another national title, but they just lost a brother down on the court for they don't know how long. So all the best to him, and hoping that on the other side of it, we're thinking the worst and it ends up being the best.
Mm-hmm. He's going to... If it ends up being the worst and say he has to go through surgery and whatever, he's going to have to chase the aunties away because they're just going to be like, do you need food? Do you or something, you know, like just because the culture, especially yes. The volleyball culture in particular, like they're just like so passionate and caring about these players, both the men and women's side. And I joke, but I'm kind of like, that might actually happen. The aunties will just want to like jump in and like take care of Spiros as their own, because that's what it feels like. But okay, going to the match itself, a few minutes before we have to take a break. It was an interesting one. Again, we mentioned a back and forth affair. That second set that Hawaii took was very much close. That third set, even closer, 25-22. But the interesting thing was, in the middle, you saw a change in the lineup. Like, you saw Chaz Galloway not come back. You saw Alakai Todd on the bench for a little bit. So that was kind of interesting. I also noticed that while they were on the side, they had kind of like this special wrap thing. Like, Alakai had it on his right shoulder, I believe. I don't know. It looked like it had some kind of maybe a massager or something. And then Chaz had the wrap on his right leg. So he was out for a while. Then he comes back. So that was interesting in terms of just a change that happened in the game. Brett Sheward, former University of Hawaii men's volleyball player who transferred to Irvine, he had a pretty solid game. He looked really good. And I know he wanted that win over his former school, obviously transferring because what appeared to be him having to sit. So at least he got his opportunity to go out there and play at UC Irvine. But they did look a little shaky and things were a little off. I remember texting Paul also. I'm like, the sets look kind of interesting. Like, some were too low. And because I sit, I make all these observations because I look at the faces on the players, and that's how I can kind of tell when the sets aren't going accordingly. So I know Tread, obviously, we have to remember that he's still very, very young. I mean, the guy's only 18 years old. He's new to the sport. He technically should still be in high school right now. So there's still some of those growing pains that they're going through. He did come out of the game for a little bit, I believe, in the fourth set when Hawaii actually almost came back, when calling went in there and the kind of lit a spark, and Charlie said it in the post game, but you'll be able to get the full post game later today on our YouTube channel. But also, just when asked about making that change at the center position, he's like, you know, maybe like Tread was just, it just kind of needs to come out and take a breather, and also just kind of watch from afar. Cause sometimes when the game's not going your way, and in any sport, right? Like, you just need to step aside for a little bit and kind of regroup, because it starts to, again, he's young. So once he starts not feeling it with the sets, and like his teammates are kind of giving him the look like, hey, what's going on, man? You just got to come out and reset. And
you
said
it well.
It turned around in the fifth set. So, but those are types of the growing pains that the men's volleyball team is still going through, considering that they have a bunch of new players. But those are some interesting observations in being that Chaz Galloway and Alika Itad in a match that was very heavily contested took such a significant break, maybe a much needed break. You know, Charlie Wade's a mastermind, so I'm not questioning it by any means, but that's kind of like the things that may have stood out to fans.
And even more so, at least from my point of view, and this kind of ties the Spiros injury back into it. Last night you got to see a little bit of the embarrassment of riches on this Hawaii men's volleyball team, where they're a bit deeper than just their starting rotation. They have some guys who can come off the bench and really sling it. I mean, Keone Tim, what a performance from him in multiple different sets. And Charlie Wade in that postgame presser, he did, I don't want to say gave the credit for the fifth set win to Keone, but he certainly said that Keone was the difference, because if you remember back to that January 5th loss against Loyola Chicago, both of Tim's service turns did not go as well as it did this time. And instead, in the fifth set, they jump up 3-0 and never give back that lead. So a really nice job mm-hmm. by some of the, I hate calling them reserves, but that's the technical term.
Yeah.
Because we also saw Louis Sakonoko come in as well. Mm-hmm. We had our own French phenom going up against theirs, and it was some fun last night.
Oh my gosh. Can you believe, though, that Heno guy, like, even in the post game, Charlie was like anyone could set him and he would get those kills. You guys, if you missed it, 36 kills last night. By comparison,
unreal.
Spiros led the Bows in attack last night with 17 kills. Which is a good number, Heno.
I had never seen a number that big.
Kills, like what?
It
felt that way,
shocked.
But when I officially like see the box score, I'm like, okay, well at least I knew what I was seeing, because that is insane.
Career high and the current national high for a single match this season by any men's volleyball player, Heno last night.
It was crazy. Anyways, we got to step aside. When we come back, we will chat some basketball next on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's Wake Up in the Den. Alongside Paul Brecht, I'm Ku'ule Agbayani. All right. It's a full day recapping the weekend of the University of Hawaii wins. Big wins. We were just talking about UH men's volleyball. If you guys missed it, probably the biggest news following the weekend does not come with a win. Well, I guess they did win, but it's not a win for the team, as Spiros Hakus left last night's game with an apparent left leg injury and had to be helped off the court. So once we get an update, we will share that with you in an official update. Obviously, something like this, never want to speculate anything. So yeah. Charlie said that he should be getting an MRI today, and that's all we know so far. So in case you guys are curious, yeah, that's all.
So
we know as much as you guys know at this point, but we will try our best to get you an update as soon as possible that will hopefully be able to come out later today, but stay tuned. All right, so switching gears to men's basketball for a second. The men's basketball team coming out with their big win on senior night, 74-57 over UC Bakersfield. Justin McCoy leading the way with 23 points on his senior night. So it's a huge win, and this is why, you guys, it's fun to what we on Friday, where we talked to Dominic Drury from the Big West, formerly with the UH men's basketball program, but just kind of getting his take on all the different scenarios in terms of what Saturday could mean for seeding heading into the Big West Conference Championships this week. And sure enough, one of the games that we needed, or the results we needed to happen, happened as UC Davis beat Long Beach State 88-78 earlier on Saturday. So we kept repeating it on Friday talking to Dom, is that the best case for Hawaii to get the third seed, because at least that would mean they would be opposite the bracket of UC Irvine, a team that has just dominated Hawaii in the two games this year. So we want to be opposite of that team, since I know it's tough to beat a team three times, but sometimes when you feel like the complete underdog, you just think that it's going to be interesting. So at least they won't have to face UC Irvine until the championship game. So because Long Beach State lost, that gave Hawaii full control of their destiny, and they just had to win against CSU Bakersfield, which they did. So Hawaii gets the number three seed and will play. They get the first round bye and will play on Thursday. That game will be at 4 o'clock Hawaii time, and they await the winner of UC Santa Barbara and CSUN. You heard me kind of sigh there, because the other team that had our number this season so far is UC Santa Barbara. So that's why I'm like, we couldn't avoid both, but at least we could avoid one and get the first round bye.
As much as, because it's funny, I had the same reaction, but I also thought to myself, where it's like, you have to beat some of these teams no matter what to get to the championship, and good teams are going to win regardless. So if Hawaii is going to win, they're going to win, period.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, seeing that the two options we get for our first game, the only worse way our first round matchup could have gone was if we saw Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah.
That was the only way that I was going to be like, oh my God, between
Cal
these
State
teams.
Fullerton,
because
yeah.
even CSUN.
Who didn't make it, so that's
yeah.
cool.
But even CSUN, who just gave us a really big scare this past Thursday as well, where the Bows tried their best to give it away. It's two teams who you can't overlook if you are Hawaii, but also the Bows starting to play their best basketball mm-hmm. at the best time. And, you know, I don't think they're a team that anybody necessarily wants to see either.
Yeah, but luckily they figured it out in between. The only person I know that was still positive is right here in this studio, and it is not me. So when they were starting to take that dip mid-season, Paul was over here. He's like, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I'm not worried. And I was like, yeah, but he's like, I'm not worried. So I will give Paul his flowers in that.
I appreciate
he was the only person probably in a small, between Paul and my other half, I think you guys were the only two people that were like, no, I'm not worried.
Shout out your other half for that, too.
Who's already in Vegas. He left for Vegas yesterday, so he's already in Vegas getting ready for championship week. So between you guys are the only two that, as much as I was venting my frustrations, you guys were like, no, I'm not worried. So Hawaii, the number three seed, if you asked us, like, what, 6 weeks ago, it would not have been this what we were thinking was going to happen. But before we discuss a little bit more, this is what head coach Aaron Gannat had to say following that game on senior night.
Did you guys as a staff and a team know coming into tip-off, because of what happened to Santa Barbara and stuff, you guys had locked into three before tip-off?
We didn't want to talk about it much, to be honest. We did our normal routine. It served us well. I mean, you can hear some of it. It's unavoidable because of the time when the games played. I think one of the games were played during our pregame, so we knew there was this differential, but we didn't share anything with the team, and we didn't really want to think about it. It was like, no, I don't want to hear anything. Let's focus on the game. So I know one game was so early, right? There was a couple of games that had an impact, and but our guys did their normal routine with the walkthrough, did a good job in this game other than that tough stretch. We showed great poise to extend the lead, great job to finish the half, to start the half. The run was compounded. One was on us, two was giving credit, and I'm glad we responded well.
Can you speak to ending the regular season this way, you know, 19 wins, a winning record in conference, after where you were and to do it on the moment?
It's incredible when you look back on it. In the grind, though, you're just kind of taking it one at a time, but then you can reflect and go at 2-6, 9 of 12 to get to 11-9, from what, 9 or 10 seed, or at one point to 3, I think. And I knew some of it, we knew that, you know, you could have maybe won out the three, but we wanted to win the three this way, if that makes sense. And, you know, I've said it before, because you guys have asked me over this 6-week stretch about chipping away. I know it's cliche, but we haven't been scoreboard watching much. They might do it because they're human, but we haven't been talking about it much. We've just been focused on getting better, attacking practices, put ourselves in position, and they've continued to do it. It's been nice to finish at home. This is the first time since we've been here. There are always big games at the end of the year, but certainly the biggest of the last two. It was nice to finish it here. Great turnout for these great six seniors who have, in different ways, have a similar theme of fighting through adversity in their careers. Really proud of them and glad that we get to enjoy it. I want them to enjoy it and then get back to work.
That was University of Hawaii men's basketball head coach Aron Ganot following their senior night win over CSU Bakersfield 74-57. And that's a really good win, similar to the Rainbow Wahine win. These are two great wins for the UH programs to end their season and have this momentum heading into the tournament this week. Again, the women get a double bye because they are the outright regular season champs, and then the men have the single bye in the first round and won't play until Thursday. They'll face the winner of UC Santa Barbara, who got the 6th seed, and CSUN, who is the 7th seed. The game time for the Rainbow Warriors will be 4 o'clock p.m. Hawaii time, and you can watch it on ESPN+. But they're looking good, so yeah, playing their best basketball when it matters. This is what we've been saying all season, and it's starting to look that way. And again, it's a joke, but it's not a joke that at least they don't have to play Fullerton. Because there's any team that could be a lesser team on paper than the Rainbow Warriors but still beat them, it would be
stupid Titans.
Yeah, those dang Titans who knocked them out the last 2 years in the first round. And like, it's just, they just have our number this year. Luckily, Hawaii was able to beat them once this year, but there's just something, I don't know, maybe we just don't like the color orange. We don't see straight. Maybe, I don't know. It's just weird. It is like, because you go into the game and you're like, oh, Hawaii's a way better team than Cal State Fullerton. And then they just,
and then they muck it up, and then
they make it dirty. Maybe that's what it is. And they just play messy, physical, dirty basketball, and like Hawaii has a very refined game, and so when you throw them off of their rhythm, it's like, oh wait, what are we doing?
So Cal State Fullerton is like the New York Knicks of the past like 3 weeks, where it's a bunch of injured players who just work really, really hard. They shouldn't win the games, but they're going to compete night in and night out because they just, that's the way they are wired over there at Fullerton. So I do want to give them their flowers. I know that they didn't make the tournament, thank God. But overall, they have had Hawaii's number, so I'm glad to see them not within our final field.
Oh my gosh. Either way, we do have to await Santa Barbara and CSUN, who are, well, but I mean, we've been saying
all
year.
All teams are good.
There's
dude.
A reason why nobody knew, aside from Irvine and Davis, the top two seeds, everything else from 3 to 8, like there's a reason why it only got decided and seeded on Saturday's results, because the Big West is just so competitive and so even. And it's just in conference games, anyone can beat anyone at any given time. So fortunately for Hawaii, first round bye. Whew. Please win. Please. I want to see one game. I'll be on the plane while the game's going on, so I won't know what the result is. But at least I get one game for sure on Friday with the Rainbow Wahine. But we will talk about them when we come back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻulei Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. Let's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I am Kuʻulei Ogbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. You can text us at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. If you guys want to just, chat or have any questions, I can imagine maybe we'll get text messages about Spiros or something. What's the update? So we will get you that whenever we know. But we are talking about University of Hawaii basketball. We were chatting about the men's basketball team before the break, and the women's basketball team claiming the outright regular season Big West title after beating CSU Bakersfield 85-48. 88. You heard that correctly. 85-48. And that was without the services of Olivia Davies, who they rested her legs a little bit more. As we know, like, sometimes her knees will hurt and stuff. So they saved her for the championships coming up this week. And still limited minutes by Imani Perez and Brooklyn Ruers. So, I mean, that front court, nasty. The back court, nasty. For what Paul has been saying since the media day scrum at the beginning of or before the season even started. So just the depth on this Rainbow Wahine basketball team is you just have to be in awe of. Lili Wahine Kapu led the team in scoring with 22 points. Up next was Melani McBee putting up 9. Deja Phillips, with 12. But just all around, if you look top to bottom,
it's a normal Wahine day.
Only Hallie didn't get a point up there, but she got a couple of shots because they were up by so much.
And she also only played, I was going to say, she only played like 2 minutes or so. Yeah. So it wasn't like she had the whole time to score. So like I was saying, another Wahine day where it's, I think 11 players played and 10 of them scored. It is incredible what a team they are. And I want to emphasis on that word, team, because like you said, without Olivia Davies, who, I mean, how many games has she started this year? Over 20, I think.
A bunch.
Yeah, it's just another phenomenal player. They hit a season-high 17 threes, one off the program record. Once again, without one of their best three-point shooters in Olivia Davies, an incredible day all around to close out the regular season for the Rainbow Wahine.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was trying to think of if there was a way to shorten the post game that we'll play for you in just a little bit, but everything, as we know, when it comes to Coach Beeman and she had her other coaches with her on the Zoom and you hear her say why, I'm like, I can't chop any of this up because everything is just like straight fire, as the kids say these days. But here is what head coach Laura Beeman had to say, and she had all of her, you know, assistant coaches there as well in the Zoom. So this is what they had to say.
Well, obviously, the whole staff is here because this is not anything that can be done without this entire group. The locker room was amazing. These kids are truly amazing. To win the conference championship outright, the way these kids did it, I could not be more proud. This staff could not be more proud. And obviously, these guys are who get it done. So we're really, really excited to end our regular season this way.
Hey, congratulations, everyone. It just seemed like for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, it's been tough game after tough game, stressful game, down to the wire. Just how nice was it for you guys to close the regular season with a performance like this?
This is what we wanted to do. We talked about it as a staff, that we wanted to have a dominating last game going into the tournament. We did not want there to be any doubt that we are the number one team in this conference from start to finish.
And then just kind of 20 wins, the 20-win benchmark, just, you know, I know – next week, everything comes down to next week in Henderson. But what is there still kind of a significance in college basketball to having that, reaching that 20 win mark in a season?
You know, I think that the seeding committee definitely takes a look at how you're playing at the end. And I think they take a look at if you get to that 20 win mark at this point. You know, if we don't, then it doesn't matter, right? We're a one bid conference. So we want to get to that 20 win for the seeding, for the championship, for the state of Hawaii, for these kids. That's what we're pushing for sure.
Did Coach Flo, did you cut down the net in the Cardo Center? Is that what happened?
No. Yeah, we ran out of there with it.
Well, you know, we didn't think it would be appropriate to ask Bakersfield for a ladder and some scissors. So the staff went down to the local sporting goods place and bought a net. And we just did a makeshift celebration in that locker room, teaching these kids to cut down nets because that's where we want to be on Saturday night. We've done this before. We cut down nets, I think 2015-16, we practiced at UH and everyone thought we were crazy. But I want these kids to know what it feels like. So yeah, we did it again.
All right. And yeah, what can you guys say about the just the shooting tonight? I mean, you guys shot better than 50% from 17 threes made. Lily like was 4 for 4. So yeah, what happened there?
The shot doctor. Go ahead, shot doctor.
Keep shooting.
Good ball movement. You know, we always say as a staff, when we move the ball and the right person, the ball finds the right person, which is what happens when you move it. The shot has a better chance of going in. And today I thought our ball movement was really pretty. The kids, for the most part, were shot ready. They were confident. They played with the championship mentality, which is what we need this time of year. So yeah, when you're shooting like that, keep shooting.
Yes. For anyone who wants to answer, how do you think the team can stay, you know, engaged for the next 6 days, which is a long time to be on the road without a game?
I honestly don't think it's going to take much time to stay focused. I think they'll take downtime tomorrow. That will be well deserved, but they're super motivated. And so they'll have a nice balance of lightness the next couple of days, but I think it's not going to take much to rev their engine. They know what is in store. There's a lot of leadership that's been through this from last year. So I think all the returners we have can help the newcomer. It's not going to take much.
First off, you know, congratulations again to all of you guys. An outright regular season title, obviously very important to you as you continue on into this postseason. How nice was it for you to finally see that front court rotation of Jackie, Imani, and Brooklyn in the same game together before you have to get into that conference tournament?
It was fun. You know, I think Coach Mitchell can talk to a little bit more. She does a lot of the subs and the rotations, but it was really fun to see the three of them together. You know, now we get to have Liv coming back as well. We're resting her legs a little bit. So to do this without her was fun. Coach, I don't know if you want to.
It's just amazing to see the chemistry and see that they all feeling good and get back comfortable, you know, playing on the court and playing together and literally just seeing what lineups work with each other and seeing what we have to do as we move through the tournament to see what's going to be best. The best lineups for who our opponents are. So it's good for us to see like what we're working with and how they feel.
So wait, I'm just curious. Can you paint the picture for us? How exactly did this net thing go? Were you guys like in the locker room? Did you do a little thing or can you kind of paint the picture for us that we weren't there?
Well, we're definitely going to send you guys some pretty amazing video from our locker room. These kids deserve it. Like I said, the staff went out and we got a net. We couldn't hang it. We didn't have a ladder. So basically we just passed it around with some scissors and said, take a piece of the net. You know, this is for you guys. We had a pinata in there that had a bunch of little championship trophies and some candy in it. And it was just really special. Cake pops for the girls. You know, on the road, it's not like celebrating in Hawaii. Nothing is like celebrating in Hawaii. It's Hawaii makes it so special, but we wanted to do something for these kids. So the music, the water, the dancing, it was going. And they got a little piece of net and they got some little trophies and we're going to take this energy up to Henderson for sure.
And then just lastly for me, Coach, you know, I don't know what the expectations were 12 years ago, but can you kind of just, I know you credit a lot of your staff, but 200 wins now as Hawaii's head coach. It's a pretty significant accomplishment.
I think my goal originally was to not get fired. it's representing a place like Hawaii is truly amazing. It's truly special. And I didn't know I'd be here for 12 years. So I have to thank the state, the administration, school for wanting to keep me around. This isn't something that happens by yourself. I don't do any of this without these guys. And that was the reason for having them on the Zoom with me. I definitely don't want to make this about Coach Beeman. It is about these guys and how much support and how brilliant they are and what they do. And they don't get a lot of the limelight like I do. And so I just can't appreciate them enough. I love them and I thank them. I've had a special, special career. And it's because of the wins. Sure, it's more because of the relationships with these kids, but it's also the relationships with these guys around me. Consistency is the winner. And this is a consistent coaching staff. We know each other. We love each other. So I'm very humbled. I'm thankful.
And maybe on one lighter, less poignant note, where did those Lays come from? Did you guys like pack them with you on the trip or find them at a store nearby or something?
Like Party City or something, you know, we did a Party City. We did a sporting goods store. We did a Target run. We've gone everywhere we've needed to go to get these kids hooked up with the cake pops and the lay, the net. I have a remarkable staff with Noah Brown and Dice Staley, Kristen Ho, Jason Hill. They were running around getting this stuff done while we were trying to prepare for this game and just amazing support. And I know the kids feel the love and that really matters to, what was it Wooden said? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. This staff cares about these kids a lot. And they care about us too. We had a nice little water shower in there as a staff. So the love is real. And can't thank the state of Hawaii enough for the support. We're happy to bring this back to the state. We're not done, guys. We are not done.
And that was UH Women's Basketball Head Coach Laura Beeman along with her assistant coaches following their big 85-48 win over Cal State University Bakersfield to clinch the outright regular season title and 200 career wins. Like, shout out Coach B, but as she's always does, just
she kills me.
It's not me. I just didn't want to get fired.
Tried my best not to get fired and found my way to 200 wins, the second most in program history.
Love her so much. And as we know, they had already clinched the number one seed in the tournament, but needed that result to just outright win the regular season title. And her team came out firing. So Hawaii doesn't play until Friday in the Hercules Tires Big West Women's Basketball Championships. So that game will be at Friday at 10 a.m. Hawaii time, at noon if you're in Vegas. And the teams in their bracket, the first round will be number 5 seed UC Davis and number 8 seed Cal State Fullerton. That winner will go on to play number 4 seed Cal Poly in the quarterfinals, and then that winner will move on to play Hawaii in the semifinals. UC Irvine getting the 2 seed and the other double bye in the tournament. UC Riverside has the single bye in the quarterfinals and will await UC Santa Barbara and Long Beach State. So again, men play on Thursday and the women play on Friday at 10 a.m. Hawaii time. We'll be right back to get you a lot of breaking NFL news. A lot of big players on new teams, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Extra bright this morning. NFL news is going crazy. We kind of wanted to make sure we got you a lot of the local University of Hawaii news before we even dipped our toe into what's going on in the NFL, because if you guys know us, we can just start blabbing about the NFL for the entire show. So we tried very, very hard to not even coming back from a break to even say anything about the free agent signings, because it'll just drag on and it would have taken away from at least those recaps that we needed to tell you guys about that happened with the University of Hawaii. By the way, speaking of recaps, you can get a lot of Paul's recaps and Michael Lascaro's recaps, photos, videos at HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Just click on the local sports tab. Go to our YouTube channel for some of the post games, and the post game for men's basketball and men's volleyball yesterday will be up later today, again, on our YouTube channel. All right. Going through to the NFL news to close out the show, I guess we can go in what really happened first. So yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers did not wait until today.
I forgot about that. Oh,
I know,
gosh.
Right? Everything else
so
happened.
So much news has passed. That's old news.
So if you guys missed the news yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a new quarterback, at least for 1 year. So agreed to a 1 year deal with former Denver Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson. So Russell Wilson, and this news broke maybe like midway through the men's volleyball game yesterday. Olivia Austin, who hosts our Hawaii Players podcast, she's a Steelers fan. So she kind of told me, because she got a text that like Russell to the Steelers, and she's like, Russell Wilson's a Steeler. And she was all excited, because I think this is great. It's kind of a good stopgap type of thing for the Steelers. He's still a solid quarterback. And we always talk highly of Mike Tomlin. So if there's anyone that can figure out a way to best use Russell Wilson, even though he is way out of his prime, but his IQ is there. He still has the talent. And I think this is great for the Pittsburgh Steelers, considering the other options that they had. So, yep, Russell Wilson is the Pittsburgh Steelers. As Paul said, he kind of forgot about that because that happened yesterday. Other big quarterback news, Kirk Cousins. The era in Minnesota is over, and he agreed to a four-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons. So there was kind of this speculation about it happening. The compensation update via Adam Schefter is that the Falcons are giving Kirk Cousins a four-year, $180 million deal, including $100 million guaranteed. It's $45 million per year for an aging quarterback who is not named Tom Brady. Like,
They just tore his Achilles.
It's crazy.
Like, not even in the beginning of the year. He tore his Achilles towards the end of the year and still got nearly $200 million.
Paul and I chuckled that, okay, we need to find out who his agent is, because that is pretty awesome. He's just, Kirk Cousins has been able to land money deals after money deals, and to have that type of deal, considering, yes, you're older and coming off of injury, but the Falcons need a quarterback, and that's what you got to pay if you need one, who at least is proven. Kirk is still good. He can still sling it. They do have weapons there in Atlanta, and who knows what's going to happen after the draft. So,
big Kirko the Bag King continuing on with his incredible earning career. And you're right. The Falcons have plenty of pieces in place already, and I can't think of how many times we were frustrated last year that Arthur Smith wouldn't use Kyle Pitts, Drake London, or Bijan Robinson. All of those things, I would assume, are about to change in a big-time way when you add an experienced quarterback like Kirk Cousins.
And a new head coach that probably knows what he's doing more than Arthur Smith.
Yeah, probably.
Before we get to the really top running back news, other running backs off the board, Josh Jacobs to the Green Bay Packers. Sad face. DeAndre Swift to the Chicago Bears. Not bad. Tony Pollard to the Tennessee Titans. The big one, though, Saquon Barkley, the top running back available, agreed to a 3-year, $37.75 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Womp.
Gotta ask Darnell Arsenal how he feels about that one.
He's probably hyped. I would be if I was an Eagles fan. If I was a Giants fan, I would be absolutely livid. Since I'm a Jets fan, I'm laughing. Not that hard, though, because the Eagles also stole one of the Jets' best players in Bryce Huff, going down on a three-year, $50-ish million deal, former undrafted free agent who really came on this past year for the Jets also. Heading to Philly, so some really big splashes by the Eagles on both sides of the ball, both offensively and defensively.
Oh.
What are we doing?
This came out like 5 minutes ago, but I'm seeing it now. So via Adam Schefter, former Dolphins linebacker Andrew Van Ginkel agreed to terms on a 2-year deal with the Vikings for $20 million, including $14 million guaranteed. The deal was confirmed by his agents Drew Rosenhaus and Ryan Mata. Jeez.
I mean,
Andrew Van Ginkel, he's solid, and that's a good one for the Vikings. Again,
agreed.
Chicago. I mean, all right, I'm getting a little selfish because they do have the number one pick and the ninth pick. So, but still, it's like when you see like the Packers like do their thing, and then you're seeing all this stuff with like the Vikings, like teams in your division. It's like,
oh, you get itchy, yeah. Especially when your team hasn't made a move yet.
Well, I mean, they got DeAndre Swift.
I'm talking about my team.
Oh,
my team is just sleeping right now. I guess Christian Wilkins also making his way from the Dolphins to the West Coast now, joining the Raiders and Antonio Pierce's defense there. Going to be a really fun group to watch him and Max Crosby go at it for the Raiders as well.
He got a pretty good nice bag, too. 4-year, $110 million. Woo! Gosh.
I think the Vikings are going to draft a quarterback, by the way. That's something we'll have to talk about in the future, because right now they have two quarterbacks on their roster named Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. Neither of which are starting next year.
Oh, man. We'll definitely have a full, because there are probably more things that will come out throughout this morning, as it is still relatively early. Even in, you know, when we're talking East Coast time, it's still somewhat early and things can happen. So we'll definitely get into a bunch more of the NFL talk tomorrow. Again, this is like word vomit for Paul and I, because we were trying to hold it so we didn't get off into a tangent. But we got to go. So tune in tomorrow for Paul Brecht. I'm Kuule Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.